Your copy of the scriptures to Luke chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 11. I want to begin today by saying that I know something that's true about all of you, and that it is true without exception. I know, and this is true for everybody in here, I know that you are most happy when you get to have what you most value. Whatever you are deeply convinced is the most excellent thing to have in your possession, possessing it is what brings you your deepest joy. I know also that you have lived your life, and as you have done that, you have been convinced of the excellence of one treasure or another. And I know that you have demonstrated dedication in seeking it. And why have you done this? Because happiness is tied to treasure. And the basis for your happiness is having that treasure which you are convinced is most excellent, most beautiful, most valuable, most desirable. I know that you've thought about this, and I know that you do think about this. You can't help but think about this. You know that being happy is good, and you know that happiness is tied to reward or to treasure. And I also know that your happiness or your joyful sense of well-being only lasts as long as you have that most valuable thing. You've probably done just like me. You've probably gone through a variety of treasures. First one and then another, because some treasures just don't last. And the reason that you have moved on from one treasure that didn't last, and then you fixed your eye on another treasure, is because of the hope for happiness. It's because of the hope of well-being. It's because of the hope for security or contentment. Happiness is itself such a treasure, and it's so good to have it, that you have devoted yourself, and you are always devoting yourself to seeking that which you believe will give you lasting happiness. It's true about everybody in this room without exception. What we must ask, is this pursuit for happiness and is this devotion upon a treasure a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it depends. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Some treasure is heavenly, and so it lasts. All the rest is earthly and temporary, so consider what is your treasure. Consider what you judge to be the most valuable and the most desirable for happiness, well-being, security, contentment. Consider carefully, because that is what you will love the most. That's where we'll find your love, and that's where we'll find your devotion. What you believe to be the most valuable to give you the lasting happiness. In fact, whatever the treasure is, whatever that treasure is for you, Jesus says it is in fact the master of your life. You are devoted to pursuing it. You are devoted to having it. You are devoted to serving it. So we must ask again, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it depends. Jesus went on to say that something very important about what you love and what you hate. He said, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." And I know something else that's true for everybody here. You brought all of this with you today. You brought something for lunch, but you also brought this. Every Lord's Day, when you come to sit under the preaching of Christ's Word, you bring all of this along. You brought love and hate today. You brought devotion and loyalty, or you brought despising in your heart today. You brought contemplations upon treasure, and you brought with you today a pursuit of happiness. Everybody does this without exception. You came here today and you are sitting under the preaching of Christ's Word with your devotion or your heart's true love set upon the pursuit of a certain kind of treasure and the happiness that comes with it. Is the happiness that you are seeking today the happiness that Christ promises? Is the treasure that you are seeking today the treasure that Christ gives? Last week we learned that, from right here in Luke 11, we learned that there is a wrong way to listen and respond to Christ, which leads to being actually in a worse spiritual condition than before. But today, here in Luke chapter 11, we get to listen in on a conversation between a certain woman and Jesus, where we will learn again how not to listen and how not to respond to Christ. And so, why do you need to pay close attention to this conversation? It is because our natural tendency is to misunderstand what it means to be blessed and made happy. We tend to misunderstand that. We tend to misunderstand what it means to be blessed. We can listen and respond with our hearts seeking and storing up all of the wrong kind of treasure, which can result in the wrong kind of happiness. We can misunderstand what it means to be blessed by God. So let's put our attention on the text here. It's Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 and verse 27. A woman has been listening, and she responds. Luke 11, verse 27 says, "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.'" Well, the crowds have been pressing in to watch and to listen. Jesus has been preaching and he has been performing various miracles of healing. He has most recently cast out a demon and the crowds have witnessed. We know that there were some who responded by rejecting Jesus. We know that there were others who were delighted in his teaching and they knew that he preached and he worked with the authority and power of God. And so it happened that there was a certain woman who had been watching. And she had been listening, and she had been made very happy by it. Strong, positive emotions had been provoked in her as she listened and as she watched the Lord. And so, she speaks up with a compliment. And you notice that it begins with the word blessed. We'll see in a moment that Jesus, when he responds to what she says, he focuses in on that word, and he also will speak about blessing. So right away, here at the very beginning, we can tell that this is a conversation about blessing. But before we go any further, let's make sure we understand what that word means, because that word gets thrown around a lot today. Let's make sure that we're thinking about this word blessing from a biblical perspective. What does it mean? What does this word mean to be blessed? What does the word blessing mean? It's a word that can be translated as happy, but it also is a word that refers to the source of that happiness. To be blessed, and here's a definition that I like to use. To be blessed is to enjoy the happiness and benefits which result from being the object of divine favor. That's a biblical understanding of what it means to be blessed. Here it is again. It is to enjoy that happiness and the benefits which result from being the object of divine favor. In other words, the word blessed or blessing describes a cause and an effect. Both are contained in that word. The cause is God, when He targets a person for His special favor and tender mercies. The cause of blessing is God. What's the effect? The effect is the granting of a reward or a benefit to that person, and the effect is the happiness or the joy which comes by having that reward or benefit. That's what it means to be blessed. So, who is, with a biblical understanding of this word, who is the blessed person? It is the one who has been made happy or joyful because God has targeted them for benefit. Okay, let me give you an example. We think back to Luke chapter 6. There was the list of blessings that starts out with, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Why is that person blessed? Is it because they are the object of divine favor to change their proud hearts? Or is it because they know the happiness of being rewarded with the kingdom of God? The answer is yes. That's why they're blessed. They are the object of divine favor, and they have the happiness of knowing that the kingdom of God belongs to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are called blessed because of God's work. But they're also to be called blessed in reference to their happiness within God's work. They are to be numbered among the truly happy or joyful in this world because they are the objects of His divine favor. All right, so when you say that you are blessed, should you be referring to something that God has given to you, or should you be referring to the happiness that you have in it? The answer is yes. It's both. Cause and effect. When you say that you are blessed, do you mean that God has given you His mercy, or do you mean that you are happy in His mercy? Yes, it's both. Cause and effect. Okay, so let's go back to the conversation, because we know this is a conversation about blessing. Where a woman wants to praise Jesus for blessing His mother, Mary. Now, here's how this compliment basically goes. Here's what the woman is essentially saying to Jesus. Oh, how happy Mary must be. How happy Mary must be for being the object of divine favor. And the sign of God's favor to Mary must be the privilege of being your mother. How blessed Mary must be. In other words, I think she's saying this essentially, God's divine favor and God's mercy upon Mary must be so great because she gets to be your mother. And Mary's happiness and joy must be so great because she gets to be your mother. Why? And this is what I hear in this compliment that the woman gives to Jesus. Why? It must be Mary's greatest blessing. It must be her greatest reason to be happy and joyful and to have a sense of lasting well-being and a sense of contentment because she is your mother. Now, can you tell how this particular woman has been listening to Jesus? Can you tell? She's been listening as a mother. She hears the gracious words of Jesus, and she witnesses His tenderness in healing people, and she says to Jesus, basically, how happy Mary must be to have you for her son. She's been listening like a mother. Why, any mother would love to have you for their son. So, can you tell how she's been listening? Her praise to Jesus almost sounds like she's saying that she would have loved to have had a son like Mary had a son. What mother wouldn't want to have a son like Mary had a son? So she's listening, and she's responding with a certain expectation of what real happiness is. Can you hear it? She's listening, she's watching, and she's responding as if she has an idea of who gets to enjoy the highest happiness. When the woman thinks about being the object of divine favor, and when she thinks about the happiness that that brings, she's thinking of it in terms of the family relationship that was unique to Mary. When she's thinking of divine favor and her own happiness, she's thinking of it in terms of the temporary. This woman listens to the word of Christ. It makes her think about divine favor. It makes her think about reward and benefit and the happiness it can bring. She has been listening with a conviction about what she believes would bring her the greatest happiness. But when she opens her mouth and gives this praise to Jesus, she reveals that her understanding of what it means to be blessed by God is way too low and inadequate. Can you hear it? It's way too low. Her understanding of happiness is inadequate. Her idea of the kind of treasure that Jesus came to earth to purchase and to give is not very heavenly, is it? It appears to me to be entirely earthly. She likes what she sees. She likes what she hears in Jesus. It provokes lots of good, warm, motherly feelings. But she's missing the point. Can you see how she's missing the point? Her expectation of what it means to be happy in Jesus is not only too low, but it's wrong. She's listening, but she's missing the real treasure in Jesus' word. And so the happiness that she feels is in fact deceptive. So let's listen very carefully to how Jesus responds. It's in verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now we look at that, and at first glance it might appear that Jesus was a bit rude. Is this a case where a certain woman just wanted to give him a compliment and Jesus just cuts her down? Is that what this is? No, not at all. Jesus isn't rude, but he does correct her. It was actually a very loving thing for Jesus to say for her benefit, as well as for anybody else in the crowd who had heard what she said. The woman is clinging to earthly treasure for her happiness. She has been watching, and she has been listening, but she had been bringing an expectation to be emotionally satisfied, like only a mother proud of her son is emotionally satisfied. That's what she brought to this. Maybe she wished to have a son like Mary's son. She imagined what must be the greatest delight and the greatest happiness that she could have had. She thought about how happy Mary must have been. And then she made the mistake of thinking that the emotions of Mary's earthly family relationship, she's thinking that must have been Christ's greatest gift to her. Do you think it was Christ's greatest gift to Mary? Jesus isn't being rude when he responds to her. His words are a patient and loving attempt to raise her eyes. His response to her is a loving and patient attempt to raise her expectations and to raise her hopes. To take her eyes off of temporary treasure and to put them on lasting treasure. This is what the Lord is doing. A very loving thing that he did for her. She should be hoping for so much more from him as she's listening to his word. She should be listening and responding with a hope for a greater treasure and a lasting happiness. Her idea of happiness or blessing from Jesus, it's too low and it's too temporary and it's too ignorant of what she really needs. Mothers, what's your greatest need? to have a son that you can be proud of, to have that son who turns out good? Or do you have a greater need than that? Jesus is taking her eyes that are too low and raising them. Do you know what the woman's greatest need was? Do you know how Jesus could truly bless her with lasting happiness? Her idea of happiness or blessing from Jesus, it's too low, it's too temporary, and it's ignorant of what she really needs. Now, don't make any mistake on this point. She feels good when she hears him. She feels good when she hears him, but her attachment to a certain feeling is actually keeping her from understanding his gospel blessings. Her greatest need is not to have the feeling of a proud mother, and her greatest danger is not that she's not in the earthly family of Jesus. Do you know, can you recognize what was her greatest danger? And the most important rescue that she needed. Therefore, Jesus responds with his own statement about blessing. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The mark upon a person that shows that they are the objects of divine favor is not what they may or not be sensing or feeling or seeing or touching at any given moment. The mark or the evidence that a person has been targeted by God to be the object of his special saving favor is what? That they hear and that they keep the word of Christ. In other words, they humbly receive Christ's word and they embrace him by faith. That's hearing and keeping. They hear the word of Christ and they embrace him by faith. That is hearing and keeping. That's the mark, Jesus says. That's the evidence that a human being on this earth has been targeted by God for his special divine favor. You want to find someone who's blessed? I'll show you one who is embracing Christ by faith. They humbly receive him. They hear his word. They take in his word. The mark of divine blessing, they take in his word and they are convicted of their sins. The mark of divine blessing, a person takes in the word of God and this person is convinced of his or her nature of sinfulness. Someone takes in his word and confesses that they are just a sinner. They ask for his mercy. They ask for his forgiveness. They throw their helpless selves entirely upon his strength, his righteousness, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession from the throne of God. They cast themselves upon him. Jesus essentially says, do you want to have a conversation about blessing? This is what it means to be blessed. To take in my word and to embrace me by faith. This is what it means to be the object of divine favor. And this is where you will find happiness. This is where you will find happiness. That's hearing and keeping. That's what it means. It means to embrace Christ, not physically, like Mary would have had opportunity to do. It means to embrace Christ by faith. To embrace him by faith and to day by day put off more the old man bound in corruption, daily putting on the new man who is renewed in the very image and righteous character of Christ. That's what it means to hear and to keep. That's what it means to be the object of divine favor. That is heavenly treasure, and that's where true and lasting happiness is found. Jesus didn't come to make Mary a happy mother. He came to save her. Mary knew a piercing in her heart that the mothers in this room will never know. He didn't come to make her happy. He came to save her. His purpose was not to be the son who would make any mother proud. He came to live a life of righteousness. He came to pay the penalty of hellish agony for Mary and for all who had or who would put their faith in him. That's why he came. Augustine once said, quote, "Mary was more blessed in accepting the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ." Augustine went on to say, "Christ's brothers, his relatives according to the flesh, who did not believe in him, of what advantage was that relationship? Even her maternal relationship would have done Mary no good unless she had borne Christ more happily in her heart than in her flesh." So, how not to listen and respond to Christ? By putting your hope on a benefit that he does not promise. Or by taking an inferior or temporary gift and raising it above his best gifts. That's how not to listen and respond to the preaching of the word of Christ. How not to listen? By listening and then seeking those inferior things while missing out on the real treasure. How not to listen? By coming to the worship service and looking for earthly treasure. By sitting under the preaching of Christ's word and thinking that some fleshly satisfying experience, something that might satisfy the eye or the ear, will give you the lasting happiness that you desire. That's how not to listen and respond to the preaching of the word of Christ. Well, let's apply the lesson that we can learn from this certain woman in Luke 11 and let's now ask how we should listen and respond. And I'd like to give you two encouragements. Two encouragements. How should we listen and respond to the preaching of the word of Christ? Number one, remember why Christ came and what benefits he gives. That's how to listen. Remember why Christ came and what benefits he gives. Listen and respond to the preaching of Christ's word by remembering and by clinging to the truth of why he came and what he gives. Calvin says something very helpful. It's very helpful. Listen to what he says here. Quote, "This woman, in applauding Christ, had left out what was of the very highest consequence, that in him salvation is exhibited to all. And therefore, it was a feeble commendation that made no mention of his grace and power, which is extended to all." I'll put it in my own words. Listen and respond as if you are most hungry for the grace of Christ. Remember why he came when you're listening to the preaching of his word. He came for the sake of righteousness. He came for the sake of payment. Calvin goes on to say, "Christ justly claims for himself another kind of praise, not that his mother alone is reckoned blessed, but that he brings to us all perfect and eternal happiness. We never form a just estimate of the excellence of Christ until we consider for what purpose he was given to us by the Father, and until we perceive the benefits which he has brought to us, so that we who are wretched in ourselves may become happy in him." I'll put it to you in my own words. In other words, listen and respond to the preaching of the word of Christ with a correct understanding of the excellence of Christ. Listen and respond to the preaching of the word of Christ by remembering how and why he is so truly wonderful. How do you get, then, how do you get a glimpse of the excellence of Christ? By remembering why the Father sent him. How do you get a glimpse of the excellence of Christ? By remembering the benefits that he came to give. You know what those benefits are, those benefits that give lasting happiness. To those who respond with not too low of a view of him, here's how you do this. Here's how you can practically do this. how to listen and respond to the preaching of the Word of Christ by remembering why He came and the benefits He gives. Here's how you do it. Here's what you remember in particular. As you are listening to the preaching of the Word of Christ, remember that Christ came to secure for all who believe in Him justification, adoption, and sanctification. He came to secure for you who believe in Him the pardon of all your sins. He came to secure for you God's acceptance of you as righteous in His sight by the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, received by you by faith alone. Christ was sent by the Father so that all who receive Him by faith may be received into the number of the adopted children, and so that you may enjoy all of the privileges that belong to the sons of God. As you listen to the preaching of the Word of Christ, remember that all who receive Christ by faith have been rescued from the devil and are possessed by the Holy Spirit, by whom you are being enabled more and more to die to sin and more to live unto righteousness. This is why Christ came. Don't listen to preaching as if Christ came to make your life easy or trouble-free. He came to give gifts like the assurance of God's love. He came to give a gift like the increase of grace. He came to give the gift of perseverance to the end, no matter how hard life gets. He came to secure for you and to give to you the full enjoyment of God and to be perfectly blessed in body and soul in glory to all eternity. How to listen to the preaching of the Word of Christ? By remembering that this is the treasure that the moth and rust cannot touch. Can't touch justification. Moth and rust can't touch adoption. Can't touch sanctification. This is what Christ came to give. This is the heavenly treasure that Christ gives and which you receive in the preaching of His Word. How to listen to the preaching of the Word of Christ? By remembering what's real treasure. Remember why He came and remember the benefits that He gives. So when you think about it, that certain woman had too low of a view of the excellence of Christ, didn't she? She wasn't grasping why He was sent. She wasn't grasping why He was born to a young lady named Mary. She had been hearing what He was saying, but she was looking for happiness in the wrong kind of treasure. She had her hopes set on the wrong kind of relief and the wrong kind of rescue. Do you know what that list of benefits is that I just went through? It's heavenly treasure. That's what all that is. Listen and respond to the preaching of the Word of Christ by faith, your arms outstretched to gather in those treasures. Bring that hope with you when you gather under the preaching of God's Word. Sit on the edge of the pew with your arms outstretched, ready to gather in the heavenly treasures, to be reminded of justification, to be reminded of the forgiveness of your sins, to be reminded of pardon, to receive again the refreshment of the assurance of God's love to you in Christ. That's having your eyes set upon heavenly treasure, and that's where you'll find lasting happiness. Remember why Christ came. Remember the benefits that He gives. I can offer to you a second encouragement. This is a second lesson that we can learn by observing very carefully how that woman was thinking. Secondly, we need to resist the temptation to follow Christ by sight. We need to resist the temptation, even as we are sitting under the preaching of His Word, to follow Christ by sight. In other words, do not listen and respond to the preaching of the Word of Christ as if the highest experience of Christ now will be tangible to your senses. Do not listen and respond to Christ as if the highest experience of Christ now will be tangible to your senses. The closeness of Christ to you and the love of Christ for you cannot be measured by anything that you can feel or see. And I know how hard this is. You need no higher or deeper experience of blessing and happiness than to hear and to keep His Word. The evidence of blessing, it's embracing Christ by faith. The emotions that go along with that, sometimes they're high, low, sometimes you don't know where they are. It's embracing Christ by faith. This is the mark, this is the evidence that you are the object of God's special saving favor. The evidence of blessing, embracing Christ by faith. Happiness in Christ, the happiness of justification, sanctification, adoption, and the rest of the benefits. This certain woman in Luke chapter 11 was trying to gather treasure that she could see and that she could feel. As if the height of motherly affection would be the measure of the height of Christ's love to her. No! It was not to be found there. It was to be found in Him. It was to be found in embracing Him by faith. This happiness was to be found in the treasure that He gives, which is lasting treasure. This certain woman was trying to walk by sight. He gave her happy feelings, and she thought that that's where she would remain. We follow Christ by hearing His Word, and we follow Him by putting our faith in Him. So, take this encouragement to walk not by sight, but by faith, by looking at that certain woman who is trying to find comfort and assurance of spiritual well-being. She was trying to find all of that by sight, or within some kind of earthly family relationship. She was trying to find lasting security. She was trying to find lasting contentment by some physically tangible or emotionally tangible experience. She praises Jesus as if she would have been more blessed or more happy if Jesus was her son, as if Mary had some higher, more valuable treasure. The woman appears to be on a pursuit of the sense or the feeling of happiness, but without the heavenly treasure which we receive by faith in Christ. It's treasure which we know we have, not by sight, not by touch, but by faith in Christ's promises. Well, let's take this lesson. If you make a tangible experience or the satisfaction of your earthly senses the main goal when you are listening to the preaching, it will usually be the case that you are grasping for earthly treasure in order to have your earthly senses satisfied. We must work on this continually. I mean, we could do things that are visually stimulating up here. Yes, we could have a smoke machine, and it'll really appeal to your eyes. I could try to find a more dynamic personality. But it would be of no good to your soul. I could do things to try to make you feel happy and provoke that sense. But if we're pursuing happiness and delight without having our vision lifted upon that which is heavenly treasure, it's of no good to our souls. And that happiness will end up being very temporary. Because I'm sure any dynamic personality would quickly escape out of this out of this poor human body. J.C. Ryle said something that's very helpful on this second encouragement about walking by faith and not by sight. J.C. Ryle said, "We are generally very slow to receive truths like this." He said, "We are apt to imagine that to have seen Christ and heard Christ and lived near Christ and been a relative of Christ according to the flesh would have brought some mighty effect upon our souls." He said, "We are all naturally inclined to attach some great importance to a religion of sight and sense and touch and eye and ear. We love a physically tangible, material Christianity far better than one of faith." He said, "And we need reminding that seeing is not always believing. Thousands saw Christ continually while he was on earth and yet clung to their sins." So the proof or evidence of God's blessing, it's not found in happiness in and of itself, but it's found in the source of that happiness. As we saw last week, a person can have a very strong experience. They can have a very deep feeling of happiness, but without faith in Christ, there is no true rescue and there's no lasting happiness. So, how to listen? Remember why Christ came. How to listen to the preaching of Christ's word? Remember the benefits that he gives. How to listen to the preaching of the word of Christ? Remember the real reason why you need him. Listen as if you are wretched without him. Remember why you need him. And remember that Christ is not embraced by touch. He is embraced by faith. He visits us and he brings us his gifts by his Holy Spirit in the preaching of his word. How may you know as you leave this room today that you have been blessed by God? Now, you may have some provoking of emotion that may be there, that may not be there, I don't know. But how may you So let me offer to you a conclusion. And I hope that this will be of some good practical help to you. It's most necessary that you prepare ahead of time before you come and sit under the preaching of Christ's word. It is most necessary that you prepare ahead of time. If you have given no prayer or no thought to this moment, you are at best probably not getting from the word as much as you need. And at worst, you may be coming to this moment with the wrong anticipations and the wrong hopes. Pray and think about these two applications before you walk in the doors so that your mind is properly prepared. Remember what is real heavenly treasure. Prepare ahead of time. And place your contemplations upon this. Plant your hope for satisfaction, your hope for happiness, your hope for fulfillment, your hope for wellness of soul, your hope for peace and tranquility of soul. Place your hope upon Christ's promises to give heavenly treasure. Do this before you come to the moment of preaching. Prepare yourself to listen by remembering why the Father sent the Son. Prepare yourself by remembering your wretchedness apart from His grace and by remembering His excellence. Remember His excellence, and then you will find happiness and lasting treasure. Everybody came today with love and devotion and with hatred and despising. Everybody came today with an anticipation of what would make you happy. Everybody came today without exception wanting something from God's word, wanting something from the sermon, wanting something by being here. How do we come to this moment properly prepared? By remembering why Christ is excellent, by remembering what is heavenly and lasting treasure.
Do you want to be God? Do you want God's blessing when you hear a sermon? Do you want to be the target of God's special tender mercies? Do you want the happiness that comes by being the recipient of divine favor? There is no higher experience of blessing in this life than to be granted the divine favor of believing His word and keeping His word. There is no higher experience of Christ or mark of divine favor than to be granted faith and repentance and endurance with Him. That's what we need to come hoping for. These are the treasures that we need to come ready to cling ever more tightly to when we hear the preaching of His word. Being renewed in my faith, being renewed in my repentance. Lord, give me your blessing today. Show me a man or a woman or a child who pulls the chair up close and they hold their face close to the food, and I'll show you someone who's hungry, and I'll show you someone who's thankful and truly benefited by the meal. Show me a man or a woman or a child who pulls their own soul up close to the means of grace and who hungers for Him who is manna from heaven. And I'll show you the one who bears the marks of being the object of divine favor. Show me one who has pulled their soul up close to the preaching of God's word, who pulls their soul in close when we pray together, who pulls their soul in close when we take the Lord's Supper, and as they remember their own baptism. And I'll show you one who's happy. I'll show you one who knows lasting happiness because they're feeding on Him. They have found their treasure in Him. They have found their happiness in Him. The emotions that may follow, sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not, but they're not looking upon that. They're looking upon Him. So how not to listen and respond to Christ? By looking for the wrong happiness in earthly treasure. There's our lesson for today. In Proverbs chapter 8, let me conclude with this. A couple of references from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 are recorded the words that we must attribute to our Savior. Just listen as I read these to you. Words which we must attribute to our Savior. Listen and bring this promise with you every time you come to sit under the preaching of His word. Quote, Psalm 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, better than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. This is why Proverbs 3 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her.